Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
2020 Sports on Sports Radio 94 WIP.
6:43. Yeah, we're going to explore a little further after we talk to Jason Kelce, the MVP of the National League Championship Series. The Wild Card Nationals are going to the World Series. But we did not want to take a chance to make it to the World Series by getting players near the trade deadline. That was, you know, if we don't, we don't. That was the whole concept of that.
Yeah.
But apparently it worked out a lot better for Washington than it did for us. All right?
Yep. Yeah.
And Howie Kendrick is the MVP. And, this may shock you. 2 years ago, he was on the Phillies. And Mack Lentek gave him up for a guy that's going to become the next great pitcher in baseball, Mackenzie Mills.
Who?
That's
Mackenzie Mills.
Al.
Is he related to Galen?
Really, I was just
Mackenzie Mills. Yeah. His mom said who? He is
who?
No, he is no longer in the organization either. Al, he's going to. Matt, if Matt Klentak had a worse week, Al, he'd be in the ICU right now. Do you understand that? He would be hospitalized.
He
the only way
like
you could
was.
Have a worse week would be if you were in the ICU right now.
This was salt in the wound, man.
Oh, my God.
Washington winning.
Hi. And one other thing, before Jason, we're going to be calling him in 1 second, but Doug Peterson did discuss the Stephon Diggs thing out, because I'm going to guess. This is a guess. I'm just taking a wild guess here. Mm-hmm. That Doug Peterson wouldn't have minded Jalen Ramsey being on his top roster, right? I'm thinking that. Here's what he said about Diggs owning the Eagles last Sunday.
First one, we were in cover four. Both safeties were, you know, obviously in cover four. Their run support safeties, they were low. And Diggs was a good route. Just ran past us. And then Kirk put the ball in a position where only Diggs can make the play. So, I mean, that was a win for them. Second one, you know, Malcolm was out of position. I know he made some comments about that after the game. He took ownership on that. Obviously, we can't do that. Communication, you know, has to be imperative. It is imperative in the back end.
See, if a guy's running straight downfield real fast, and I was a defensive secondary guy, I would try to run with him.
I'd trip and fall down just so I wouldn't look as bad.
On the line with us is one of our favorite people in sports, Eagles center Jason Kelce. Hi, Jason.
Angel, how are we doing? What's up?
How's Wyatt?
He's doing great.
Great.
Yeah, no, everything's going good.
All right. Baby, getting enough sleep. Things going okay with that, Jason?
Yep. My wife, Kylie, she's taking the brunt of it. She's in the other bedroom for a lot of the night. I mean, there's not much I can do anyways, but, you know, she's at least helping me get some sleep.
Good.
So I appreciate it.
I really appreciate that. I'm not sleeping well right now because of Sunday's loss, Jason, and I'm hoping you could help us. Was that as upsetting to you as it was to this city?
You know, it was a frustrating loss. I think that as players, you don't have the luxury to dwell on it as much as the city does, because obviously we have to get ready and prepare for the Dallas Cowboys. But yeah, it was a very frustrating game to be a part of. You know, we just got beat. We got beat really bad. You know, not quite as bad as probably the New Orleans loss last year, but you know, I mean, certainly, you know, there are not many games in which we aren't in it down to the very end, at least. You know, where we can win it with a field goal or a touchdown, and to be completely out of it and playing, you know, the fourth quarter the way it was, to start off on offense the way we did, and we knew that, you know, they could put up some points. You know, it was a frustrating game all around.
All right, I do not mean to be disrespectful when you say you reference the starts, but Jason, 2 years ago you won this city with the Hungry Dogs thing. Are the dogs not hungry anymore? You guys are starting games like you're not ready to play. Could you explain to us why you guys are starting so poorly almost every week?
I can't explain it. I think that we're trying to fix it. We're trying to get plays, and we've done some tempo things in other games. You know, I think that we're just continually trying to fix that, and for some reason it hasn't gotten fixed yet. I'm sure that we'll work on it this week. We'll work on trying some different things to get off to a good start. But, you know, this game isn't as simple as, you know, do this and everything is fixed as in terms of fast starts. I think that in general it comes down to execution. For whatever reason, to start games, we just haven't gotten off to a quick start. And I think that, you know, the coaches and everybody are trying to iron that out.
I don't know if you heard what Doug said. Doug was on with us on Monday, and he said he's really seriously considering not deferring and trying to get the ball in your hands first, to go with the offense first. Would that help?
Well, statistically, it's going to help. Obviously, if you receive, you're going to get probably one more possession in the first quarter, so everybody's going to look at the stats and say, oh, they're off to a much better start, but... I mean, it really comes down to execution. The benefit of deferring is that you get an extra possession in the second half, which I think, you know, don't get me wrong, it's important to start the game off really well, but a lot of the times you want that extra possession in the second half because the game has started to unfold. You understand what they're doing defensively, and you can get to some more conducive plays from a play-calling standpoint, maybe put up some more points. So, but as we've stated, we've done a really, really poor job of starting fast. So receiving could jumpstart that. And getting that extra possession in the first half is going to, you know, at least statistically give us more opportunities to put points on the board. And maybe that gives us some momentum starting games in the future.
There's been a lot of talk about a lack of speed on the skill positions offensively, Jason. How much do you guys miss DeSean Jackson?
I mean, DeSean is a tremendous player. He makes defenses play you differently. He's a very, very unique talent in the NFL, and he's been that way since he's been in the NFL. So, you know, we would love to have DeSean Jackson back, but the reality is that's, I mean, in the NFL, you got to find a way to win regardless of who's out there. We're lacking some big plays right now. I still think we have players to make big plays. We're just not executing them. We're not, for whatever reason, getting it done. And, you know, it just makes everybody really trying to figure out how they can execute better. You know, we sure would love to have DeSean back, but you know, we got some pretty good talent out there as is. And there's no excuse to why we shouldn't be functioning well offensively.
Jason, are you disappointed that that Howie Roseman did not acquire Jalen Ramsey?
No. I, from the sounds of it, Howie did just about everything he could to try and get him. And, you know, didn't work out. You know, I think that it's not like, you know, the Rams gave him, what, two first-rounders and a fourth-rounder? It wasn't like, you know, they got him on a steal and Howie didn't offer him anything. So, you know, I got supreme confidence in that guy. He makes some incredible things happen, and I'm sure he's still, you know, we're working really hard to make sure that we have the best team possible. I know that that's always the case.
Jason, the NFL is really getting close to crisis point on flags by the officials. And I don't know if you got a chance to see Monday Night Football, because the refs really, Cleet Blakeman's crew, really decided the outcome of the game with at least one. The NFL has now acknowledged one of the two big penalties, illegal use of the hands to the face, was bogus. Is it being called differently? Give me your perspective of what's going on right now with the officiating, Jason.
My perspective with the officiating is that everybody has the wrong idea that officiating is going to be perfect. I'm quite frankly sick and tired of hearing about officials' mistakes. I think that the advent of replay, especially this past season, with the advent of all of a sudden reviewing pass interference calls, which before this season there was never a penalty that you could review, has put it into a situation where people think that referees are going to always make the perfect call. That's never been the situation it is. I think that right now the referees are under a lot of scrutiny because of this new age of thinking, and it's making them try and do more. I think everybody needs to calm down and realize if you're blaming the referees for a loss, you didn't get it done. And I think that I'm quite frankly just tired of hearing that the referees are missing calls, or they're not. They miss this one call right here. That happens all the time. You got to find a way to fight through it. You got to find a way to make a play. If it's a bad enough call, usually they see it. Every once in a while, you're going to have some outrageous missed call or outrageous thing that they called that wasn't there. That's football. So, I'm tired of it, to be honest with you. And I think that everybody making a big deal about it is only getting in the referees' heads. It's only getting in the NFL's heads. At the end of the day, blaming other people for the reason you lose a game, blaming other people for the reason why you're not having success is a surefire way to failure, in my opinion. So, I don't really care about what's going on with the officials, to be quite frank.
Right. Phenomenal answer. I really appreciate your honesty on that. Jason, I'm going to say a term, and then I want you to give me the first word that pops into your head, okay? Dallas, sure. Dallas Cowboys. First thing, come on, pop it out. You're editing yourself right now, aren't you? Jason, you're editing yourself.
Yeah. Put a delay on him.
The pause might be better. You don't even have to give me a word now. The pause said it all. It said it all.
Perfect.
All right. Well, what I wanted to do, and see, I was talking to Doug about it Monday, and I don't know that he got in trouble, but it went viral. I want you to hear what he said about the Dallas game, and then tell me if you agree with him. Malcolm Jenkins was actually, and he didn't think there was anything wrong with this. Here's what Doug said to us about Dallas.
We're going down to Dallas, and our guys are going to be ready to play. And we're going to win that football game. And when we do, we're in first place in the NFC East. We control our own destiny. We're right where we need to be.
Jason, did he put bulletin board material up for the Cowboys there?
I don't know. I mean, at a team, you can throw any quote up there to try and use it as bulletin board material. But at the end of the day, that's the mindset every week. That's the mindset we have every week, that we're going to go down and win a football game. Obviously saying it on the air is something that doesn't usually take place, but that's, I think right now we're, we need more attitude like that. We need more energy like that. And, as long as we execute, as long as we take care of what we take care of, we're going to win every week. And that's the mindset you have to have in this league. And, they're a really good team, make no mistake about it. They got some tremendous players. They got a great defense. If we go down and execute like we should and like we can, it doesn't matter who we play, we should win.
Jason Kelce. Jason, you're terrific, man. Have a great game in Dallas. Thank you.
All righty. Thank you.
Jason Kelce. He is so upfront with this stuff. He went after us for bitching about the refs.
Yeah.
And from his perspective, I think that's a great way to look at it. If you are waiting for the refs to call something that screws you or use it as an excuse, that's the worst thing you could do, right?
Yeah.
He's got to block it out.
Oh, the problem is that they have so much replay that they've become a part of the game.
The I mean, you can see the mistake.
But you watch the play, and you don't know if you saw the play. Is this going to count? Every play, is this going to count?
They're not getting it right on replay. They might as well get rid of the rule.
You're right.
Because they're not getting it right on replay.
Exactly. Can you imagine back 20 years ago when you were throwing balls right near the strike zone and they had that little box up?
Oh, yeah.
You would have freaked, right?
Oh, yeah.
Because you got squeezed at times because you were somewhat erratic with your pitches.
I appreciate you saying somewhat there. that is very kind of you.
Thank you. Pat is on the line. I want to see if he's angry at Howie. Jason didn't sound angry, but I am, Pat. What about you?
Good morning, crew.
Good morning, crew.
I'm beyond frustrated. I was driving home from work last night, and WIP, I forget who was on, it was after 7 o'clock.
Joe Giglio.
Yep. and breaking news, comes out with breaking news, has a little delay, talks about how he's been talking about it, and then drops the bomb and says he was traded to the Rams. I almost drove off the road. Has this been the worst week in your – the question for you guys, has this been the worst week in Eagles history?
But it's been bad. It's not the worst.
You lose on Sunday atrociously.
Yeah.
Doug comes on and – guarantees a win. Whatever anybody
says. That was
says,
good. I was in favor of that. It was on our show. I loved it.
And then yesterday, we lose one of the top secondary guys, the top secondary guy in the league. What's going to happen tomorrow? What's going to happen the
now,
next
I'll
day?
I'll say this. I was watching Mitch Williams when Jason Kelce was talking about Howie Roseman. He loves how Mitch. That wasn't fake, right? He went, that guy's going to take care of it. He had full faith in him.
Absolutely.
But I got to tell you something, Pat. Howie did not have a good draft last year. He did not have a good offseason with the acquisitions. And now he got beaten by the Rams for Jalen Ramsey. He's got to step up. I mean, today. I'm sick of waiting. I don't want to see another week with everybody open in the secondary. That's what I'm frustrated with.
Well, I really hope that Howard Eskin is on his way down to the Eagles facility right now, and he's camping outside of Howie Roseman's office when he rolls in today, and he asks the question, what the hell happened?
He should just do what he did with the guys at the podium on Friday. Go, why is he here? Doesn't appear he's doing anything to help us.
That was unbelievable.
Why are they here? Pat, I want to get you on the wheel right now. No one's got a spin yet. I got some amazing stuff. Mitch will tell you what you want. Give me something that's really good on toast.
I'll tell you something that you don't think of that often on toast, but just plain on toast is bacon.
Bacon on toast. Are we going to accept that when Ava said yes?
Yeah, but bacon on a sneaker.
She's pro-bacon.
No, NovaCare Rehabilitation Prize, Will.
The concept was to put normal stuff on it, but...
people have that.
My sandwich that I have is a bacon mayonnaise on toast.
Mitch, number four.
One Philadelphia Eagles branded laptop bag.
Ooh, a laptop bag with the Eagles logo on it.
There you go.
Bring it to school.
Who knew they had that stuff out?
It can be used in trades.
Everything's got the logo now, huh? Official logo.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.